There we go.
All right. So good morning, everybody. We are here today and it'll be a special episode because it's just me and Barb.
Yeah, for our first time ever, finally on the third season where we're just talking to each other.
Yeah. So this is a nice change. I think I want to do a little bit more of this. I was just telling Barb earlier, we were giving some ideas about episodes that we could do this season. And a lot of them that I suggested are just the two of us.
So get ready.
Anyways, so today's episode is really interesting. And I think it's something that all moms are always so curious about, but never really ask about. And our dear friend here, Barb, earlier this year had a tummy or a mommy tuck.
Mommy tuck, yeah.
So she's had a mommy tuck earlier this year. And so we just wanted to dive right in and talk about that journey because, you know, it's huge. It's a big thing. It's a very exciting thing. And I think it's what most of us wish we could do, but have no idea where to get
started. Or some people, yeah, and it's totally fine. Not everybody wants to do it, which is awesome. But I think we just don't talk about it enough. Or if somebody has ever had it done, sometimes you don't even know because it was just really hush hush.
And it's funny because after you mentioned that you were going to do this, I was talking to some clients about it and like how excited I was for you. And they're like, oh my God, I've done that too. And you just, no one talks about it. Mm-hmm. Right? No one really talks about it or just openly shares, except for you. So
that so I here we are.
So here we are. So I think I'm just going to dive right in and ask you the question. So you had your surgery, what was it, April 13?
Am I think almost exactly, yeah. I just remember it being the middle of April. So I think it was 13th.
Yeah, I think I put it in my calendar because it was right before my birthday and opening, and then I didn't see you.
I know. I missed everything.
So you had it on April 13th, and but you had been thinking about this for a very long time. So I guess the first question I just wanted to know is what led you to considering getting this mommy tuck, and what specific changes or challenges were you hoping to address with it?
So basically, my oldest daughter is 11, turning 12, and that is how long I have been thinking about it for, honestly. I know the body changes, you're growing a human being. It won't necessarily be the same, and that's a beautiful thing. But for me, it changed so much. And I'm, you know, I love working out. I'm a huge worker. I love being active. And for me, visually, my physical body just wasn't matching how I was feeling on the inside. So I actually went for a consultation with this team that I actually had the operation with almost over 10 years ago after I had my first daughter, because I was like, actually, I just wanted to go there for laser because I've heard of laser skin tightening. Mm-hmm. So I thought I could do that just because like my stomach skin was loose after having my first. And the woman that I met with, she was like, oh, no, you're probably going to have to go for the full operation. She goes, laser skin tightening is more for softer skin, like the face, not so much for the stomach. And my stomach, you know, I had a baby, I was stretched out really far. I had the ripped abs and everything. So it was not close to what it was like before. And she's like, you're definitely going to have to go for the surgery. But are you done having kids? And I said, no, I'm not. She goes, well, don't bother even, you know, doing or considering it yet. She goes, just wait and come back or think about it when you're done having kids. I know there was a second part to that question.
The second part was what specific changes or challenges were you hoping to address? But I guess you kind of, your body just wasn't matching what you work so hard for. Because if anyone knows Barb gets up at like, I don't know, she doesn't sleep. She gets up at 4 a.m. What time do you get up at?
Yeah, around there to work out. But I for me, it's just something that brings me joy. It's not something I'm killing myself over. Yeah. I love having my time by myself with great music, with an instructor like pushing you. And that's just fun for me in the morning. But after kids and, you know, with every kid, it stretches, your stomach stretches out even more, the abs rip even more. By my third, I had to wear a support band because my stomach was basically like hanging down because nothing was holding it in anymore. So after the kids were out and my stomach was retracting back in, not that it did it very much, I was like, okay, I just want to change this, fix this, get it back to what it looked like or close to what it looked like before.
Hey, I always wondered why women would wear that strap or that band.
Oh, the support band? Yeah.
Yeah. And like, can you, like, what does that feel like? What is it supposed to feel like? I've also had three kids myself and I've never used that, but I'm like, maybe, I don't know.
But everybody's body is different. Like I have, yeah, everybody's body is different. I had a girlfriend, she had three and she went right back to normal. So it's different for everybody. The band for me, it just felt like I was literally wearing maybe a little potato sack on my stomach. So it was just kind of pulling everything forward a bit. But I was also, I'm also used to it because that's how my pregnancies go. So, you know, I could function with it. But then when I would go for my appointments, my checkups and anything, they were like, are you comfortable? Like your stomach's really like hanging. You should. And I think one of them told me about the support belt because I didn't even know. And they're like, I feel like it would help with your comfort, which it did.
So that someone would have to brought that up to you.
Yeah, they were like, are you comfortable? Because you're still like, some people were like, oh, are you gonna give birth soon? Because it looks like you're sitting really low. And I'm like, oh no, I'm like 4 months in or 5 months. You know what I mean?
I think going back to what we were saying earlier, sometimes you just don't know. So you think that that's the way it's supposed to go.
Yeah.
Until you're told otherwise and you're like, huh.
And you're just used to it. Like you can manage, you can function and it's uncomfortable, but what's, of course it's uncomfortable. You're growing a baby, right? Things are changing. So you're like, oh, okay, this is what it is.
So funny. I mean, it's not funny.
But it's funny.
Okay. So many moms may be curious about the prep and recovery process before and after.
Yeah.
Can you describe a little bit about what you had to do, or if there's anything that you're supposed to do beforehand, and then your recovery journey, and then...
Oh man, I wish I brought my notes because there's actually a lot to prep for, and it's really cool. It was much more of a like holistic approach. So there was a list of foods that I could not eat because I think it has to do with blood clotting and inflammation and that sort of thing. So I was like, oh wow, I can't have like these things. And just to be super safe, of course I didn't. No alcohol. I feel like I'd be making it up at this point because I don't quite remember, but like tomatoes, I feel like was one of them. Maybe it was either ginger or garlic. Green tea, even like herbal teas. Cause I love her. I know. Cause I love herbal teas and I'm like, oh, okay. We'll drink water, I guess. But even just things like that. And I guess it's just to make things as healthy as possible, you know? Mm-hmm. Definitely like no alcohol, no recreational drugs, that sort of thing. Tried to get proper sleep. It was a very holistic thing though. I thought it was really cool. I don't know, maybe everybody, like maybe this is a normal thing, but of course it was my first time. So mm-hmm. I was like, oh, okay. Very cool. But it was like an 8-page document.
Oh, wow. But like, it was mostly diet? Like
for the prepping, yes. And there were a couple medicinal pills I was supposed to take, which I did. They give you,
I thought you did.
Whole package. No, they give you like, they give you the 8-pager of what you can and can't do. And then there's like a list of meds you have to get. And then they have a list of prescriptions for you to get as well for prep and for after, because obviously afterwards you're totally out of commission. Couldn't tell you. I mean, I could look back, but I couldn't tell you what the pre-meds were, but it was, I think it just had to do with so that you're the blood clotting to make sure everything would be as smooth as possible for afterwards. Yeah.
What the post medicine was.
Oxy. No, that's the one that totally stands out because I was waiting for the T3 prescription, but it was just straight to Oxy. And I was like, oh, wow. That seems so aggressive, right?
I remember you telling me there was like a time limit, like you couldn't, right?
Yeah, there's a window that you can get the prescription in, and you're not allowed refills. Like, it's a very specific thing, which I guess is great just in case, you know, pain meds are addictive, right? I just remember the Oxy. And again, there were some other vitamins, like vitamin C or something. Again, don't quote me, but because I just gave the pharmacist, I'm like, I need all of this. I have this surgery coming up. Like, and they're like, yep, we got it. Don't worry. And they got everything for me. I really put my trust in the hands of the pharmacists and doctors here.
Yeah.
Some people like research everything. I'm like, yeah, I know what they're doing.
It's been happening for a long time, so
I mean it, and it all worked out well. So,
you're still here today.
and I mean, we can continue this later if it is one of the questions, but the Oxy, I was very hesitant on taking just because, you know, you just hear the word Oxy and there's a lot attached to it. So in my mind, I was also really mentally getting ready for what post would look like, because I've heard from people, they're like, it was the most horrific thing I've ever been through. I remember my girlfriend's sister-in-law. She told her sister-in-law, who told me, that she goes, if somebody paid me $1 million, I would not do this operation again. That's how painful it is. So I was terrified, but I wanted to mentally get ready for it because I knew I wanted to do it. I knew it'd be a healing process. It would take time. So I actually did a lot of meditating, which I always do, but more intentionally for post-surgery. So I actually didn't take any Oxy or any T3s or anything afterwards. I just took extra strength Advil. And I just listened to a lot of guided meditations and binaural beats. I mean, maybe that helped, or maybe because my mind was set on doing things a certain way.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
What a waste of that oxy.
I
I'm
still have it because it's not expired. Just in
So
case.
that's really awesome. Like, I
Yeah.
didn't know that. And we talk about everything. Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, but I did extra strength Advil, which is just over the counter, but I literally was taking it. I think you can do it every 6 to 8 hours. And for the first, because I kept everything in my notepad in my phone, just because I wanted to track how recovery was going and how many meds I was taking, I literally would take one extra strength Advil, maybe every between 6 to 8 hours, like 24/7 for the first at least 4 or 5 days.
That's not bad. Like,
Yeah. It worked. It worked. And the meditation.
that's
So there
awesome.
is the power of the mind.
Yeah, that's so awesome. You're like, that's amazing.
I just wanted to see. I just wanted to see. I was very open. If I needed Oxy or anything, of course I would go to it, but I just wanted to see, like, what could the body handle?
You're like, how much pain can I really
And
take?
we, yeah, like, honestly, when I gave birth, my birth plan was epidural. As soon as we got into the hospital, I'm like, epidural. Sign me up. They're like, you're doing really great. You're at 7 centimeters. I think you can do this. I'm like, nope, I'm not going to do this until we get the epidural. So I have no problem, like, you know, giving into what needs to be done to make things more comfortable for me.
Okay,
That was my birth plan.
do you find your mommy tag has impacted or changed your self-esteem or your body confidence or your overall well-being, and how do you feel afterwards?
I absolutely love it. So I'm doing the same workouts as before. If anything, I'm doing even slower, low impact workouts like Legree with the Pilates reformers. And I do that a little bit more now. That was the first workout I started doing when I was able to start working out. And what makes me happy is that now, after working out for a few weeks, I know this is so silly, but I can see, like, you know, like the body changing. So, like, muscle definition changing or muscle lines changing. And that makes me so excited because no matter how hard or long I worked out before, it wouldn't change.
I think that's really important to touch on, only because not a lot of people talk about not being comfortable in your own body. Like, especially after having a kid, right? Like so much changes in our bodies. And we've seen ourselves one way for so long, and then to have this other body that you're in, when in your mind you've always been a certain way, it's like it's a really strange feeling, because you know you picture yourself in your mind one way, and you work really hard to, you know, thinking that's what you look like, and then it's, you know, it just changes. It's just a weird feeling to not be comfortable in your own body,
that it happens overnight, really. Yeah, either way. Yeah. Giving a baby overnight, kind of having an operation overnight, kind of, you know, there's the recovery and everything, but I totally agree with you. And I think it's so funny that you said that, because I remember, because now that post-op and things are healing and stuff, it's great. I was in Mexico over the summer, and this was literally the first time I've been wearing a one-piece swimsuit for over 10 years now, just because that's my comfort level. Like, that's, I'm comfortable.
I know, so what you're going to get.
I bought my first two-piece. I posted a picture and you commented. You're like, what the hell is that? Because it was a high-waisted.
I think you saw about a centimeter of your stomach.
And for me, I was like, yes, I love this. I'm wearing a two-piece. Yeah.
Everybody's different.
But I was very excited about that. And for me, that was like, yay, like, you know, I'm on the recovery side now. I'm on the other side of it. But even just with that 1 centimeter in between my two piece. maybe a centimeter and a half, maybe two, probably not. But for me, that was a step back, like, yay, this is my pre-baby body.
Yeah, looks nice. Yeah. Like, so just being comfortable in your own skin, wherever on the scale that is, right? And so it's nice to get to a place where you're like, yeah, this feels good, because you work really hard. Like, you work out a lot because you love it, and you know, and so it's just really nice to be at a place where you're like, I feel good.
Like, one silly thing for me, and Ben, my husband, laughs at me all the time, is when I work out now, I just wear a sports bra. Before, it would be a sports bra and like a big baggy t-shirt.
Yeah.
And people who don't know are always like, but you look the same. And I'm like, no, you've never actually seen me in a sports bra. Like, you always see me in shorts and a shirt. And they're like, really? Because you look the same to me. So it's funny, because I myself feel great and I see a difference, but people are like, meh, you look the same. But I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I mean, you did it for you.
Yeah. Right?
You did it for you. So.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, post-op, balancing the demands, you have three children, so of motherhood, and then your self-care. Can you talk a little bit about how you managed? Because you were out for a long time, so.
It was very sad.
How long, actually? How long were you on bed rest for?
Okay, so again, if I remember correctly, I think they say, recovery takes 6 to 8 weeks. And in my head again, I was like, I can do this in 4 weeks. I can do this in 4 weeks. No, you really do need the full 6 to 8 weeks. But I was pretty much fully bedridden easily for the first 5 to 7 days, which may not sound like a lot, but when you're at home by yourself, laying in bed, you've watched everything on Netflix, like nobody is home to talk to you. I couldn't really quite move my arms yet to like pick up a phone and text and that sort of thing. You're just laying there looking at the ceiling, looking out the window. It feels like a really, really, really long time, especially because all you can kind of do is sleep, wake up, which I was kind of looking forward to, because I'm like, yay, this is going to be so fun. But after the first 2-3 days, you're just really bored. And I always remember, because I kept it in my notes, the first week for sure, going to the bathroom just to pee took 30 minutes.
Oh my gosh.
Because if nobody was home with me and I'd have to get up out of bed, you know, you can't really, you don't have any use of your stomach muscles yet because everything was ripped open and moved and stuff like that. And you don't realize how much you need your core to do things. It is the center of your physical body. So to get up out of bed, another thing, I couldn't lay flat. So I was sleeping like with maybe three pillows behind me, kind of just sitting half angled back with my arms straight. And I was like that for easily a week. And so to get up to go to the bathroom, I kind of just held on to the blanket and used it as a rope and slowly pulled myself up. God forbid I have to cough, okay? Because that was the most painful thing. I'd have to put a pillow in front of me, a pillow behind me, slowly sit there, crunch over. I couldn't even do a full cough because it actually takes up a lot of your core too. So I'd be like, just to get, you know, like the frog out of the throat or, you know, what happens when you wake up in the morning, right? It was the most painful thing. Yeah, but literally that's all I could do. And it hurt so much. It was the craziest thing. And then I would get up to go to the bathroom and I would move. I think I told you, I moved like 100-year-old person, like not, you know, the show on Netflix now, the blue That's zone.
True. Yeah.
I wasn't one of those healthy 100-year-olds. I was one that was like really deteriorating. So the walk to the bathroom alone took me like 12 to 15 minutes.
Oh,
and you'd have, I'd have to just hold on to things or kind of lean up against things as I was going. And then when I got to the toilet, I know this is a lot of information. I'm really breaking it down because it was a journey. You'd have to try to angle your hands to like kind of brace yourself down. Because a normal person, you have the core strength, the muscle, everything's working properly. You sit. Not after the operation. And then when I finally sat on the toilet after the journey to walking there, I'd sit there for a minute or two because I'm like, oh, this is so great. Like, I'm sitting, I'm in a different position. You know how like those hemorrhoid pillows, that's they're there to alleviate pain. This sitting on a toilet is like that because your weight shift can finally kind of relax rather than just laying kind of on your back all day. So it was like a nice, like, this is nice for the muscles. And then I'd be like, all right, time to journey back to the bed. And then washing my hands was another fun one. Normally, you know, you wash the soap and everything, but your hands can't move because also with a mommy tuck, you get your breast done.
Oh.
Stomach and breast. So I couldn't really even move my arms. I was also like a T-Rex. So to turn on the water, I had to just like stretch my fingers out and kind of lift up the tap, grab the soap. I'd have to hold the soap in one hand and then squeeze pump it into the other. I just drop it, wash my hands, and then journey back to the bed.
Oh my God.
Yeah. If I drop something along the way, I'd be like, well, that's going to stay there until somebody gets home. I can't bend down. Yeah.
It's a bend problem.
Yeah. Or the kids. Thank goodness for Alexa. Cause I can just be like, when anybody was home, I'm like, somebody please come upstairs and get my towel from the floor. Or, I dropped my cup. Please come upstairs. Yeah. So that was week one.
Downstairs like, oh, you do it. No, you do
I know. It. I know. They were really great. Those sweet little.
So if you're out of commission, for anyone that doesn't know, Barb is usually the chauffeur for the children. So a lot of it, I guess, fell on Ben to do.
Yeah.
And then meal wise, like, are you usually, you're usually the one that.
Yeah.
Everything for the kids. So Ben really had to step it up.
And the kids loved it because of course he would make different food. He would buy fun things. Like they would do karaoke in the car. I'm like, well, geez, you can do this like any day of the week. You guys don't have to wait till I'm out of commission. So the kids had a blast. Like they did not miss me. It was kind of sad for me because they were having a blast. Yeah.
But it's really great for Ben too. Cause then, you know, like,
cause I wasn't on him and like harping on him, not only to do things, but to do things my way.
Yeah, I think that's what I was trying to get at.
That was a big win for everybody. They actually, you know what? I think they really enjoyed me being bedridden because I couldn't even go downstairs. So then they were No, they were living their best life because the first time I did come downstairs, they're like, what are you doing down here? Because it was like a disaster and stuff. But I was just too much in pain, too tired. I'm like, you guys just do it whenever you want to do it. I'm just here to get a snack. I'm going back upstairs.
Yeah. So now that you're fully healed, are you back to Marshall?
Or yeah, back to yelling at everybody, like being the lieutenant, like at Sound of Music? Yes. With my whistle? No.
Aw, poor Ben. Sorry, Ben.
I know. I feel, you know what, though? I feel like, because I've had so much time to reflect in my moments and hours and days of sitting in silence. And I always try to be grateful, but it's just another step to like, okay, they can do things without me. They can do things a different way. I need to just let go a little bit. Everybody obviously was fine. I don't know where I was going with that. Something to do with gratitude and just not being so annoyingly having to do things my way.
That's huge.
Yeah, it's not perfect, but we are taking baby steps towards that.
That is huge. Just because
we all know that I'm super annoyingly type A, more so with my family, I think.
Yeah.
Because we're locked in the same house together. Home
Barb, like mom and wife Barb is very different from friend Barb. I should say very different.
No.
But like you like to keep a pretty tight ship at home.
Yeah.
Actually, you like to keep a pretty tight ship everywhere. You're just not as hard on us as you are on everybody else.
Yes.
Or on your family.
Yes. Yep. I'm aware. I am aware of it.
Yeah. First step.
Yeah, that is.
No, it's good. Everybody
step one.
Everybody needs someone like that in their life.
A little bit, yeah. I just shouldn't be too mean about it. But anyways, that's another work in progress.
Okay, so I think the number one question everyone always wonders that does consider this is how much does this cost?
Okay, I know, because definitely people don't talk about that. I have kept my receipt, which unfortunately I don't have here today, specifically just so that if anybody asks, I can let them know. And
is there a payment plan for this? Do you pay a deposit? Like all of, like, how does that whole process work?
So basically my operation was 25 grand.
Okay, go on.
One of the big high costs, because everything is literally broken down. Of course, it's great. It's a balance sheet of like where your money is going. One of the big costs is the anesthesiologist, which I'm like, yes, that is very important. I was nervous because of ridiculous movies that I would wake up in between, or I would be awake and they wouldn't know and I would feel something. So anyways, the anesthesiologist is one of the biggest costs. And when I was talking to the doctor, when I went for my consultation, I don't think we even talked about mommy tuck is getting your breast done and your stomach done. So everything is like fresh again. So when I went to talk to the surgeon consultation, and I actually had a boob job from maybe almost 20 years ago, he was like, you know what? They're still intact. They're still centered. They're still in place. Like they look pretty good. I'm like, oh, great. And I'm like, do you think I need to get them redone? And he's like, that's totally up to you. And he's like, I would recommend if you're already going to be under, it's been 20 years. My first set was saline and I switched it to, they're called gummy bears. And it's like, they're called, because it's a silicone and like a gummy bear, if you chop it in half, it just splits into two parts. With saline, it's a water bag. So if anything punctures it or it splits, it's going to like ripple out. So he's like, for me, it's been 20 years already.
And gummy bears.
Yeah. Oh, yes. No. I'm like, you know what? Yeah. I'm like, let's just do that. We're gonna redo it. It's true. I'm already going under. I already have the anesthesiologist fee. I'm just gonna add that in. I also went a little bit smaller for the breast implants, just because I don't know, just a little smaller. I feel like
You're in your 40s now.
It was a different look. It was a different look when I was in my 20s. But then my husband's like, you know, those are still pretty big. I'm like, are they though?
Yeah, they are.
Okay. I like them.
Not like a porn star rig.
Yeah, like, no.
They're nice. They're a nice size. I'd have to say, from my observation of
Thank you. We're just being, totally candid here. I'm just going to give you all the details. And with that also, I was lucky because the old implants never ruptured. They were still fully intact. And then there is, I guess, a cavity, because there's a pocket in your breast from the original implant. And so, I mean, it's like, because that's what it is. When they put the original one, it's made space for it now. So now it's used to that size, like, say, I don't know, a grapefruit. Mm-hmm. They're not that big, but we'll say a grapefruit. So the pocket size is a grapefruit. And then I want to go smaller now. So I want to put like a mandarin, not really again, but say you're putting a mandarin.
Yeah.
So now you have a hole. It's basically like a hole. So what he had to do, and the plan was, we were going to do, the nickname for it is popcorn suture. And that's when you would kind of close up the bottom of the hole, because now you have a smaller implant in there. So you have space and it's floating around. So he had to sew the bottom just to kind of tighten it up. On both sides. And then, do you remember with that, when I first got out, because your body's still swollen, it's black and blue, my belly button wasn't centered. I was like, what the shit is happening here? Like, am I going to have to go back in? Like, things are not looking right. So with one of my breasts, I guess the suture was a bit tighter. So then it looked like I had like an actual puckering tight. And I was like, oh no, what did I do? Am I gonna have to go in again, go under again, and get this fixed? So with time, like they say, the 6 to 8 weeks, that's just the beginning stage, but your swelling goes down, the bruising goes down. My belly button, funnily enough, did slowly start to move to the center, but the puckering was still there. And then they gave me exercises to do to help get the puckering out, because it was just kind of, I guess, a tight stitch. And I'm guessing they might have dissolved, because it's just kind of closing a wound. It's like stitches, you know, if you cut your head. And then once it's healed, it's closed, it's good to go. And then the stitches get out. So I was lucky, after a couple of months, everything went back down to normal. So I think by August, I didn't have that puckering in my boob anymore that looked like there was a pinch.
It was just like a little, just a little.
But it was weird.
Yeah. And honestly, unless you pointed it out, I don't think the average person would have noticed. Like,
yeah, but again, we're our own worst critics, and we totally notice everything, you know, going on with ourselves. So it was something I was like, oh crap, what happened here? But it all worked out.
How much is the anesthesiologist in comparison? So you're 25 grand.
I don't quote me. I can give you the real numbers afterwards, but I think I remember it being about 6 to 8 grand. Because I mean, they're important. You want to have a good anesthesiologist there. They stay on board just to make sure everything is good the whole time, just in case, right?
Third of your surgery.
I was nervous. You know, always nervous. He came in, we chatted a bit. They put the heart monitor on your finger. This is going into the surgery now. And you literally just walk yourself into the room. It's also kind of weird. It's like, it was reminiscent of the movies when somebody is going to their death sentence and they're getting it done by, I know I'm not painting a pretty picture, I'm sorry, but they do it by a lethal injection.
Because, Jesus, this is like...
I'm sorry. This is what you guys need to know. This is the truth.
This is what it felt like.
You walk in yourself, you lay down. And I think if I remember correctly, it's because they have like, you know, things for your arms. And then they connect your heart rate to the monitor. And I could feel myself being nervous. And then the heart rate monitor confirmed it, because I could hear my heart rate going up like beep, 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 because I was like really nervous.
Oh, man.
And the nurses knew, a nurse is there with you too, which is really great. And they just chat with you, kind of get your mind off it, like, oh, what did you do today? How are your kids? You know, what did they have for breakfast? And then they're like, are you ready? And you just take a big deep breath in. And then I was out. I woke up in the recovery room.
Oh, weird.
So anesthesiologist did his job.
And how do they, like, is it, where do they inject you? Like, what is this? Like, do they give you a pill?
I had an IV. So I think everything is all, you know, controlled through that.
It's not like when you're about to have an epidural and they're like, let me
yeah,
see.
They're like, let's just sit up. Let me, yeah. So it was all very controlled, which was lovely.
So pretty much a third of your money goes to that guy.
Again, if I remember correctly, I mean, I'll look back at the notes after this. And then if I was like totally off, I will let you know. But it was a big chunk.
From what I remember when we were talking about it, like before it happened and you were going over your bill, it was like a huge chunk of your.
But it is important.
Yeah.
You don't want to. Yeah. Don't skimp out on that.
You like wake up halfway through.
Yeah. Definitely don't want that.
Yeah. So having a mommy tuck can be a pretty significant decision, both physically and emotionally. So if there was anyone that was considering it, what kind of advice would you give them? Considering the procedure, considering mental health, any factors that they should carefully weigh out before making the decision? What would be your...
I think the big thing that stands out is just be really mentally ready for it. That was the big thing for me. Mm-hmm. It was something that I knew I wanted for so, like, over a decade though. So mm-hmm. I knew I wanted it. And along with the being mentally prepared is, I mean, your own reason is the right reason to do it or to not do it, mm-hmm. but don't feel pressured that you have to do it for the sake of something else outside of you, like for a partner or, you know, to compete against another like mom who looks amazing, who, you know, mm-hmm. just so that it's the right reasons for you. Mm-hmm. And it's a big bill. So, so again, I have been waiting 10 years. So it's not like I woke up one day and I'm like, okay, let me get a loan out for, you know, this money to get it done. It was a long, slow build up to it process. And with that too, you know, for my husband more so, he was nervous just because it's an operation where you're going under. Mm-hmm. I was nervous because, you know, it's a weird thing to go under, but he was like really nervous because he's like, we have three kids and I don't want anything to happen to you. Yeah.
Yeah. And did you and Ben have a lot of conversations about it beforehand? Like,
I think I've sprinkled it for like over a decade. I've sprinkled it. And now that the kids are older and they're more functional, like they can all do things on their own.
Yeah.
I'm like, I think now's the time.
Yeah.
And then he's like, really? I'm like, yeah, like really. Cause I've been talking about it for so long. Mm-hmm. And he's like, okay, I do know it's something you want to do. It's like my daughter getting bangs. I'm like, really? Are you sure? I made her wait 10 months. Not 10 years, but I made her wait 10 months. And she still wanted it. I'm like, okay, let's do it. And anyways, she loves it.
Which kid got bangs?
Brooklyn.
Aww. The youngest
one, of course.
Why did I ask?
Of course. And she was adamant. Like she knew she wanted it. And same with me. I knew I wanted it. So
she is.
And I don't regret it. I love it. And the recovery I knew was going to be a process. And that was also a very great humbling thing. Cause I tell people it was like learning to walk again, but being in it as an adult. So you can appreciate the steps along the way.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Because like I said, the first week I was bedridden. The second week it was easier to get up. Like then I could take a shower and that was a lovely treat. The third week I could go downstairs and get a snack by myself. It really was very slow baby steps. And you have to give yourself the grace for that because it's really frustrating to not be able to do what you were able to do before. Mm-hmm. And just let the process happen and let your body heal. And don't try to rush it because, you know, I'm all about rushing things.
Yeah. Which is pretty good, actually, because I was surprised that you, Barb works out all the time.
It brings me joy.
It's just something that you love to do, right? And it's so being forced to not move. How was that for you mentally?
I had a little bit of a pity party. I don't know if I ever told you. I had a pity party for myself.
You know what? I didn't want to talk to you about any of this because I was saving it for the podcast. So I was like, don't.
So here it all is. I'm going to vomit it all out. No, I definitely had pity parties. I'd feel sorry for myself, which is a ridiculous thing. I'm like recovering, but I was just like, I want to be able, I miss driving. When I was able to go outside for the first time, you really appreciate getting that fresh air or having that sunshine hit your face. It's so humbling, very humbling, and really makes you appreciate the little things again. And health. I'm like, geez, yeah, health is very important.
Yeah. You're really big on your health. So
yeah. And it just, it really reminds you. It really, because that takes over. I may want to do things a certain way, but your body is definitely not going to let you. So you really just appreciate the little things. Even being able to go back when I was cleared from the doctor to go back to working out, I started with Legree, the Pilates machine. I had to let the teachers know what was going on. So, you know, because I would have to modify the workouts. Mm-hmm. And just to not be able to do things at all, like mm-hmm. planks or move a certain way. I'm like, nope. You just have to listen to your body and not force it. I'm like, yep, I'm just going to sit on the back of the machine and wait till they're done this exercise because I cannot do this at all. And usually you can pop up from the machine, get into your next position. But I was like, again, 100-year-old. I'm like, nope, I'm just going to slowly put my hands here, slowly turn around. Everybody was doing their thing. I'm like, yep, still getting into position and just, yeah, taking the time to let it heal, but also strengthen at the same time.
Well, it must have been so good. Like, you must have felt so good, though, just to even be back.
I was so happy.
Because it's like your thing. Like,
yeah, I was so happy. And I know the instructor because I go to a regular instructor. Mm-hmm. And she was like, are you okay? You're moving really, like, is this okay for you? I'm like, no, it's totally fine. Don't worry. Like, I'll modify. Like, I'm good. I'm just happy to be here. And she's like, okay. And then I kept going. And then even the week after, 2 weeks after, she's like, oh, you're walking better now. Or, oh, you can like hold this position now. I'm like, yeah, slowly.
You were like Mr. Burns when you
I'd send when I was able to go on my phone again. I'm like, this is what I look like today. And it's like the Stay Puff Marshmallow Man. Cause, I was like very, yeah, like still swollen, yeah. Inflamed. And then Mr. Burns with my walking. It really was that way.
But like now we're in, what month are we? October?
Yes. April, May, June, July, August. Oh, wow. Six months. You know what? I'm still not 100% though. There are still some things I can't do.
Oh, like what?
Like some lower ab exercises I just can't do yet. It's funny, like even, you know, like laying flat on your back, lifting your legs up, I can do, but you know how you have to slowly put them back? I cannot do that yet.
Oh,
so there's still some things that my body are like, nope, not yet, not doing that yet.
Good luck with that Pilates course.
I know. Well, this is great. We can really cater it to like the healing of everything.
But no.
I have to wear a compression suit.
Oh, I remember this.
Like a full, and so for the first little bit, it's a full body compression suit from the knees up to the shoulders with a hole to go to the bathroom. So there's no cute, fun, kinksy stuff happening. It's so tight. The suit is so tight. It's not like Skims. It's not like, what's the other?
Spanx.
It is uncomfortably tight. Like I had to put cotton padding where the metal, you know, things were, because it was just digging into the skin, making bruises.
Oh no!
But that is part of the process because your body's so swollen and it's just helping to get things into place and with the blood flow and everything. I was just laying on angled on my back the entire time. Like it would hurt if the kids sat on the other side of the bed, that shake in the bed. I'm like, do not come on the bed unless you're going to move really slowly. So it was all like drinking a cup of water, like hurt the muscles, you know?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Even once the compression suit is gone, then you have like a shorter compression suit on. So at least you have a bit more movement, which was great. And then it unclips at the bottom. So things are getting a bit more normal. But then now you have to wear these special silicone bandages over the cuts in the skin, the suit, the bandages, and yeah.
It's back to normal now, though, right?
I mean, oh, yeah.
Okay. I was like,
yeah.
God.
Yeah. It's fun times. Fun times. No.
Yeah, well, thank you for sharing all of that. Like, yeah.
TMI.
you know, the other side of it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
But you actually, I you know what, I've never Googled to see, but like, people don't talk about.
It's hard. I was trying to find information, honestly, too, even while I was healing. I'm like, what does the second week look like? What does the third week look like? Yeah. You know?
Yeah, so.
So yeah, if you have any questions, feel free to shoot them my way. Even honestly, somebody that I see, you know, at one of the fitness studios, also a mom, she was asking me about it because she was curious. And I'm like, you know what? I will bring my receipt for you of the breakdown of everything so you can see what it all goes towards. Because, you know, she was interested. She was thinking about it. She didn't know if she wanted a full mommy tuck or maybe just get her breast done or whatever. So she's like, yeah, I'd love to just see, because she had no idea. There's no resources other than if you go in for a consultation, which people aren't always sure they want to do anyways, because they don't know if they want to make the leap.
Yeah. Or also it's like, what if you go in for this consult and you're like, oh fuck, that's like way more than I thought.
You also have to pay for the consult. It's not free either.
Oh God. How much is a consult?
Okay. So I think when I did it, it might've been like $250, but I think it's gone up a little bit, inflation, of course. So I feel like that's even gone up. So if you go for the operation, then they put the consult towards the operation, but if not, then you're just paying the consult fee.
Mm-hmm. Noted.
Yeah, so it's a lot of money.
Like, did you have to put a deposit down, or is it just like your consult?
Oh yes. So once you have the consult, and then if you do decide to move forward, you let their team know, and then they give you a quote for everything. And then if you're okay with that, then you figure out the dates, and then you start doing your the deposit and all that sort of thing. And then you can figure out if you want to pay it in one lump, if you want to split it up until leading up until the operation, if you're going to make payments on it. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you very, very much for sharing.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, having you on our podcast. Yeah.
Next time I'm going to interview you.
Nothing crazy in my life like that.
We can dig in.
But yeah. Okay. Well, that was good.
Okay. If anybody has any questions, just give us a shout. This was just the tip of the iceberg. So I feel like, yeah, there's much more.
Thanks so much for joining us for another episode of Rise Podcast. Feel free to reach out anytime at hello@ourbahai.com. That's hello@ourbahai.com. Thanks. See you again.